What if your personal or business brand was so focused and so on target that it was easy for everyone in your organization to understand? What if you connected with your clients on an emotional level so deeply that they never forgot you? This is what the most successful brands in the world do. It's not about ad budgets. It's about developing a consistent brand, no matter the industry, location, or size of the company. Discover your brand and create an amazing, foolproof marketing strategy. This is the Brand Archetypes Podcast, hosted by Kevin Scarrett and Amy Zander, owners of BrandArchetypes.com. Join them on a journey to discover your most powerful, true brand.
Welcome back, everybody, to the Brand Archetypes Podcast. Hi, Amy. How are you?
I'm doing well, Kevin. I've got a little bit of a cold, but we'll power through.
I can hear that. Is it your kids bringing germs back from school, or
no? It was actually
hanging out with your family yesterday.
Yeah, probably. This is just a nice present for my husband.
Oh, it's nice. Thank you, kids.
Yeah. Yep.
So, how was your turkey day?
It was pretty good. It was pretty low key. We went to my in-laws, and my father and his wife joined us, so I didn't have to cook. So that was nice.
Excellent. We did the exact same thing, and for that, I think it's the first time in my entire life I specifically said, I'm not going to overeat, and I didn't.
I didn't either. I was pretty happy about that, yeah.
Yeah, I was, you know, I'm usually full to bursting. And
then, right.
Yeah. Yeah, so it was a good time. So, exciting. Today we, you know, last podcast we did the Explorer archetype because Brand Archetypes as a business is an Explorer archetype. And thank you for letting us do my favorite one today, the Jester archetype. Super, super excited about this.
Yeah.
So let's just dive right in. With me being a Jester archetype for me and my businesses for the past 26 years, I have to say, and of course I'm biased, but this one is super easy and it's super, super fun. If you want to have fun in business, choose the Jester archetype. And we're going to tell you all the pros and cons, of course, later. But I love this one because it just makes your days fun when you're doing your marketing and your client interaction, your customer service and your copy and everything that you do ends up being fun, more fun than if you were to pick a boring one, right? So that's the big idea, is fun. And that's obvious when you hear the name. But just like we talked about last week with the Explorer, where the Explorer has two sides of it, the Butler and the Explorer, the Jester also has two sides of it as well. So the two sides are the Clown and the Jester, and we're going to talk about that in just a second.
Yeah, so just like all the archetypes are sometimes known by other names, and the Jester can also be called the Clown, the Trickster, Comedian, Practical Joker, Risk Taker, or the Fool.
The Fool is the tarot card. The Fool is that's directly tied to that. And we're going to be talking about that. I'm sure we're going to bring it up in future podcasts where we can get other ideas for archetypes other than the 12 basic ones that we talk about, the 27 sub-archetypes that we talk about. You can get archetypes everywhere, and the Fool from the tarot is a great example of tapping into the tarot for these ideas. So let's talk a little bit more about the sub-archetypes. So I said that there's the Clown and the Jester. And again, these are just kind of thin slivers of the big idea of the Jester. But the Clown is more about family fun, laughing out loud. You know, think of it G-rated humor, right? Think Disney and, you know, having fun with your kids, that kind of fun, right? Where the Jester, as a sub-archetype of the Jester, is more about this wild, brash, kind of in-your-face wackiness. You know, sometimes you're a little risque, you know, so funny sexual innuendo, you know, so you start going away from the G-rated stuff into the PG and R-rated stuff, but not necessarily, just being really kind of in your face and wild and over the top kind of boldness, that's also very Jester-y as well, but it's definitely in the Jester sub-archetype. So a lot of the Clown stuff is a little kind of connected to the innocent archetype, the, you know, that family kind of fun. So anyway, those are the two sub-archetypes.
Yeah, one of the things I like about the jester archetype, and you're definitely a good example of this, Kevin, is that you really just never know what they're going to say or do. It's always exciting and unpredictable. And I think that's one of the cool things about the jester, is that kind of anything goes as long as it's funny.
Yeah, absolutely. And the unpredictable nature of it, to me, it explains why it's so effective in marketing and why there are so many people who are drawn to it in business. So I would say in the last 15 years or so, 10 or 15 years ago, as marketing evolves over time, I wouldn't say that it has become necessarily better, but I definitely think that there has been a lot stronger lean towards the jester archetype and using humor in marketing. There are some archetypes where we struggle to find really good examples. There's lots of, mediocre examples, but when we try to portray examples for the sake of these podcasts, we want to find really, really rock solid good ones. People who are doing it well all the time and never deviate from it. Not just a smattering here or a campaign here or there. We want to find people who are doing it all the time. But boy, the jester, there are tons of examples of people who are really, really good jester archetypes.
That's true.
Yeah.
So talking about examples, some of the examples of the clown archetype, which again is just the family-friendly kind of thing, is Aflac is one of the first insurance-type companies that kind of jumped on the jester bandwagon. And we always say too, like, well, insurance is kind of boring, so if you make people laugh, then they're going to pay more. Yeah, they're going to pay more attention to it. And everybody else kind of jumped on the bandwagon with Aflac, like Geico, Progressive, Allstate. They all kind of use that jestery clown way to make people laugh about insurance.
I will ask people, it's not an obvious question to them, but when I ask the question, then it becomes obvious. Do you remember Aflac before the duck? And they always get this quizzical look and they look up in the air and they go, huh, no, I don't.
Right, right.
There's the point.
Right. Yeah. So a few more examples would be like Ben and Jerry's ice cream. They always have really funny names and things like that for their ice cream. M&M's with the animated M&M candies. Aviation gin, that's a good one.
Oh, Ryan is so...
Old Spice, Trunk Monkey, Moon Pies, and a newer one is the Dollar Shave Club. That's pretty funny.
Mm-hmm. Right, yeah. And so let's take the flip side of that, the jester archetypes. So the classic, the one that was outlined in the book The Hero and the Outlaw, is Pepsi. So Pepsi has very traditionally, as a counter to the very innocent archetype of Coca-Cola, they have always been this kind of wacky, crazy, kind of fun brand. And so they're the consummate jester archetype. But let's give some really crazy ones. If you have not seen TV commercials for Frank's Red Hot Sauce or online commercials, check that out. Go to YouTube and just do a search for Frank's Red Hot Sauce. Hilarious stuff. And one of my favorite contemporary it's probably, I've only seen these commercials like for the last, I think, 4 or 5 years. But Duluth Trading with their underwear commercials, hilarious.
Yeah,
over the top. It's like, oh my God, I can't believe they just did that.
Right, yeah.
Definitely the brash, bold, risque kind of stuff. It's fun stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. So last time we started in these... podcast, our plan is to do a SWOT analysis. And for those who didn't listen to the last one, SWOT stands for strengths, weaknesses, opportunities, and threats. It's a very classic business analysis technique where you can look at these things and figure out the good and the bad of what you're analyzing. So let's do a SWOT analysis for the jester.
Sure. So let's start off with the pros or the strengths. People need and want to have fun in their lives. So Kevin, you kind of touched on that a little bit before. There's a lot of businesses now gravitating towards the jester because people like to laugh and because anything goes in this particular archetype. So there's not a lot of rules and things that you can't do. Life can be serious. So this brand lightens things up a lot, makes people laugh. And, you know, we also remember humor a lot more easily than some of the other emotions. They tend to stick with us. Catchphrases like Frank's Red Hot is like, I put that beep on everything.
Yeah.
So people remember that, or like the Aflac duck.
Yeah. But they don't say beep.
No, they don't say beep. Yeah. Yeah. And then the jester is also really fun and energetic. And like I said before, like you can feel like anything is possible, and just it catches the fun in life.
Yeah, it sure does. But let's look at the counter of that, the cons or the weaknesses from our SWOT analysis. And let me tell you, this, I have had this thrown in my face so many times. And every time it's thrown in my face, because I try to be a strong jester archetype, I just discount those people as, well, they're not my clients. I would rather be wildly successful with 90% of my target audience and miserably a failure with the other 10% than to be tepid with 100%. Right? So when someone says, well, you're just not taking this business very seriously, like, well, you're obviously not my client. And I let it go. So I'll give you a really, really great example. This was at a business conference. It was for products that were made in New Hampshire back when my company was based out of central New Hampshire. And there was probably 10 to 15,000 people showing up to this event over the course of 3 days. We were one of the key sponsors, and we had a 20 by 20 booth right in the center of the room. And our booth was this 9 foot tall photo of this girl with her finger up her nose, like up to the second knuckle. And the caption on it in huge letters was, "You won't find a great brand up there." And the number of people, it was probably 8 or 10 people who came up and told us that they were offended by it. I'm like, okay, that's nice. With one person that came up, they actually wanted to talk to us about the booth itself. And they said, well, you know, aren't you worried that you're going to offend people by that? I'm like, well, if a person looks at this and they can't see that we are kind of corny and wacky, kind of crazy humor, then they're probably not a customer. A potential customer, right? But let me ask you a question. When you walk away from this event and try to remember the 300 vendors that are in the room, who are you going to remember? And like, oh, yeah, good point.
Right.
So, yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Okay, so other weaknesses. The jester, it can be framed as the business focusing too much on fun and not the other important aspects of the product and service that they're providing. And that this approach sometimes can be used to promote things that really aren't that good for you, like, you know, alcoholic drinks, like the aviation gin, that example that you gave, which, by the way, if you have not seen those commercials, those are hilarious as well, and junk food and other things that may not be so good for you. The risk here, though, I think, is dramatically offset by the pros that you brought up.
So the opportunities with the jester, and this is, again, looking at your competition and your market and industry in general, is what advantage does the jester have over everything else, is that your marketing will be fun as the jester, and it will be memorable, and it makes your marketing easier because of that. And it's a powerful foil against serious or boring brands. So, and the best example of this that we mentioned earlier is the insurance industry. Insurance is boring. It's hard to make people pay attention to it. It's something we need, not something we really want to think about. But when you make people laugh about it, it's memorable. And if your competition is boring, or, you know, maybe like the Sage or Guru, where they're really serious, you might have a really big opportunity to go up against your competition as something that's more funny.
Yeah. And now let's use that as an example. Let's go back to Aflac. You know, asking someone, do you remember Aflac before the duck? And they always say no. Well, before the Aflac duck, there was no humor in insurance.
That's true.
Right? And it's only since the wild success of Aflac have all the others been glomming onto that. And I expect here very soon, probably in the next 5 or 10 years, that all insurance companies are going to be jesters, like used car salesmen. And all of a sudden, the jester will not be the best approach. for the sake of differentiation, right?
Right.
Yeah. If you have not read the book, The Purple Cow by Seth Godin, that's kind of the point of the book. And his scenario with the purple, all of the titles of his books are explained like on the first page or two of the book. And he explains that if you're driving through the rural areas of Europe and you see these beautiful pastoral scenes and you see all these brown cows, thousands and thousands of brown cows, and it's a really beautiful drive, and all of a sudden you come across a purple cow, it's going to stand out. But what happens if you keep driving and then you see fields and fields and fields of purple cows? Then the purple cow doesn't stand out anymore. So this leads right directly into our next thing, the threats of being a jester. You can be seen as being silly or frivolous. That is definitely a threat, and that can be used against you. Your competitors will recognize your approach very obviously if you're doing it right, and they will hold that against you, and they will point out that those other people are not as serious as we are, and you need to hire us. So you need to be aware of it and put on your thick skin and go for it anyway. Because the other threat to being a jester is that if you are cautious in any way because of these attacks by your competitors as being silly or frivolous, you might have the tendency to pull back and just be kind of a jester. You know, maybe we don't want to go over the top. Maybe that is going to be too offensive. As soon as you pull back on being a jester, you're no longer a jester. And so this one really is a, you know, all in a kind of an approach. If you're all in, then it will work. And if you're not all in, and it's just not going to work. So it's a great example that I give is if I point out to you, Amy, when was the last time you were watching TV? You know, you weren't DVRing and you actually had to listen to commercials, and you're watching a commercial and all of a sudden you hear the laugh track cue up and there's chuckling, and then you find yourself going,
yeah, that was sort of funny, but yeah. Not really.
Yeah. Anyway, I knew I was supposed to laugh right then, and it was kind of cute. And it was, you know, if someone were to ask me, was it funny? I'd say, yeah, it was funny. But it wasn't laugh out loud, gut busting. Holy cow, you got to be kidding me. I'm going to remember that because it was funny. It was designed to be funny, and as opposed to truly being authentically funny.
Right.
So that's a great example of a jester who just didn't go for it. And
yep.
that's dangerous. So
it's true. So infusing your company with the ideas in the jester, including examples of some words and phrases. I always talk about the words, the best words to use for different archetypes. And again, before I give you some examples of the jester, I just want to let you know that we do have what we call word banks. We've created word banks for each of the 12 archetypes that you can purchase. And if you're really interested in the jester archetype, you can get the jester word bank, and it's full of words and phrases and ideas and things like that that you can start using in your marketing.
Great.
For example, words that express fun could be like giggle, cheerful, amusing, joy, fresh, happy, things like that.
Yeah, so cheerful, amusing, and happy are direct references to fun. But a word like fresh, you know, that's a great example of a word that's, it doesn't reference fun, but it kind of implies it, and it has a fun feeling to it.
Hmm? Right, new and different.
Yeah.
And then getting more on the little bit of the daring side, bold, brash words would be like daring, electrifying, high energy, wow, irreverent.
Yeah.
I kind of think of the words like the old comics when they're like hitting each other and it's like pow, wow, zap. You know, they show those are really good jester words.
Yeah, those are onomatopoeias. And if you've never heard that word before, onomatopoeia, It's a great trivia, difficult to spell word. So if you ever get into a bit where someone really thinks that they're a hot speller, you ask them to spell that, and it's almost impossible to spell. But
right,
yeah.
There you go. Aha.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. And then some verbs that you could use would be like brighten, play, frolic, dance, delight.
Yeah, those are awesome words.
Yeah.
Yeah, the onomatopoeias. Let's go back to those. When we created these word lists, the obvious thing is to isolate individual words and then try to find verbs and nouns and adjectives, adverbs that fit within the pocket of the archetype, right? The onomatopoeias, I think, is the only example of a different classification that is only found inside one archetype, the jester. It's a special group of words, and we included a bunch of them in there. So,
right. And just for our listeners who don't know what an onomatopoeia is, it's words that imply a sound. So they sound kind of like the word you're saying. So like zip, zoom, splat.
Yeah.
Those kind of things.
Right.
Yeah.
So last time we talked about how the explorer could be played against other archetypes. Let's do the same thing for the jester. So let's talk about the clown archetype, and let's pick something obvious. Like if we were to, the obvious one,
the guru I mentioned earlier.
For the insurance. That's exactly what I was going to say. We've been talking about Aflac.
Right.
Every insurance company on the planet prior to the Aflac duck was a guru archetype. They talked about their data and their statistics and their actuarial tables and their experience in the industry for decades. And
boring.
Yeah, that is just
super boring.
Wow, yikes. Now, I got to tell you, I would have loved to have been a fly in the wall when that agency was hired and came back to the CEO and the board of directors and the VP of marketing and said, okay, here's our proposal. This is going to be great. We're going to have a talking duck.
They're like, right.
Oh, what? That must have been an amazing sell. Yeah, I think there were drinks involved.
Right, yeah. Sure.
Another one would be, going up against the ruler who is kind of in your face and self-centered, and it's all about power and dominance, and it has nothing to do with fun in any way, shape, or form. So, like GM and Microsoft, they're not fun archetypes or businesses at all. So that aggressive, domineering kind of feeling kind of flies in the face of the clown archetype. So let's talk about jester. The jester, remember, is bold and brash and over the top and risk taking and exciting and just willing to do craziness, right? Well, if you think about all the different archetypes, the opposite of risky and crazy is the mother archetype, who is nurturing and safe and secure, right? That unwillingness to be bold and to pull back on the fun for the sake of keeping people safe and secure.
Now wear your helmet when you go ride your bike.
No way, Mom. I'm out of here. Right? And so let's see. Another example. How about the neighbor archetype? Very laid back and easygoing. Now, the neighbor can be fun. In fact, a lot of times the neighbor is fun. Here in the town where Amy and I live, I was on the board of the Chamber of Commerce, and we went through the archetype process, and they decided that because all of the events here, the parades and the outdoor events and the music events that we have here, it's a beautiful place to live, they decided that they want to be portrayed as neighborly, but to have the jester be an undertone of the neighbor. So it is possible to combine the two together, but the neighbor by itself is not bold, and it's not necessarily fun. It's just kind of laid back. So there's another example of how you could play the jester up against it. And of course, all the other 10 archetypes, you could do the exact same thing and think about the analysis of how they would play against each other, look at both lists of the pros and cons, and figure out, what would work and what wouldn't work, right?
That's absolutely true. And when you are looking at the other archetypes to compare or try to decide which one you want to be, there are some other archetypes that are similar to the jester or have similar attributes to them. One of them would be the outlaw, and we'll talk about that in depth in the future, but the outlaw has that risk-taking, willing to bend or break the rules kind of outlook on life, wind in the hair, adventurous. So that's a really easy way to see that how the jester and the outlaw could be very similar. Another one would be the hero. The hero is also bold and has super high energy. not always so funny, but that definitely has the same kind of energy and boldness as the Jester does.
Yeah, I would say the hero is more like the Jester subarchetype and not really at all like the Clown subarchetype.
Right, right.
Yeah, yeah.
That's true. And then one more that I think is kind of similar is the Artist, because it's the Artist is really creative. The Jester is also really creative. And the Jester also tends to be creative in a fun, bold, new view of the world. And the Artist is kind of like that too. The Artist makes their clients and customers and people feel creative and see the world through, you know, artist glasses and rainbows and things like that. So those, the Outlaw, the Hero, and the Artist are three that could overlap with the Jester or have those subtle nuances of the Jester.
Yeah, I think the word that you used earlier, unexpected, that the Jester does things that are unexpected for the sake of humor, while the Artist's creativity comes out in unexpected ways as well. So
those
are great examples, Amy.
Oh, thanks. It's like, yeah, I know what I'm doing.
Right, exactly right. So I think that's it for the Jester. If you listened intently and tried to get a feel for this and it resonated with you, if it said, yeah, that sounds really fun, that sounds really exciting, you're just listening to us, you're getting jazzed up about the idea, well, maybe you are a Jester. If you have questions that we didn't address today, absolutely feel free to call us. And if you can go to brandarchetypes.com, you can get our contact information, all of our social media accounts. You can reach out to us through any social platform. You can call us on our phone number if you are so inclined. But we would love to have you connect with us on Facebook and Twitter and Instagram and all the social accounts. And we'll be posting and doing lots of stuff with all of this information as much as we can push out to help you with your brand development.
And also know that if you are at all considering the Jester brand, Kevin really does have a lifetime of experience being the Jester. So he's a great person to talk to and get ideas for and just, you know, pick his brain and talk about the Jester, because he really could talk about that all day.
I am the Jester, cuckoo ca-choo.
That's true. You are.
And so for those who are Beatles fans and old people like me, you just got that. Young people, probably not so much.
Nah.
Yeah.
Everybody knows who the Beatles are. Come on.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. Okay. We will talk to you next week. And I do believe we have your archetype queued up for next week, the Outlaw. Is that
Yay!
Correct?
Yay. That is. Yep.
Yay. Okay. We'll talk to you next week.
All right. See you later.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye.
You've been listening to the Brand Archetypes Podcast. Are you ready to discover your company's archetype? Check out brandarchetypes.com, where you can download the book, find out about archetype-specific strategies, connect with us on social media, and sign up for our newsletter.